turns out that if we're going to have a real and lasting confidence in what we believe, we actually have to live it out, a life that reflects the one in whom we believe. I'm Bernie Diamond, and it's just great that you can join me again this week on Christianity Works. As we spend time together in God's Word today, I passionately believe that God's going to change us from the inside out in ways that we could never have imagined. And that's what Christianity Works is all about, opening up God's Word and taking a fresh look to see what He's doing in our lives today, because He's always up to something good. So as we share time together today, my prayer is that you'll be forever changed by God's love, God's grace, and God's power in Jesus Christ. I'm excited about today's program. We're talking about living a confident life in uncertain times. I don't know about you, but sometimes it seems that there are people and situations and issues and problems in life queuing up to shake my confidence. At the local supermarket, they have a little delicatessen counter, and they have one of those red machines where you take a number, so they display the number for the next person. And some days, doesn't it feel like all these problems and issues and things, you feel like saying, well, just take a number and take your turn, because they all seem to be crowding in on us at the one time. I guess it's the world we live in. I mean, when I was growing up, it was a different time. We had different outlooks. Things seemed to be so much more certain. I mean, my dad worked for the same company for almost 30 years. It seemed to be, I don't know, a more gentle pace of life. But the world's changed. There's no point in saying, well, let's wind the clock back. That's just not going to happen. We are who we are. We live in the time that we live. We live in the place that we live. And so many people are wandering around through life with precious little confidence, with no optimism about life and the future and where things are headed. I mean, come on, uncertainty, ambiguity, they're a fact of life. Remember when I was in the army training to be an officer, we used to talk about the fog of war, and the principle is that when you're tired and when people are shooting at you and when you're hungry and when the enemy's doing things that you just don't understand, that it's like walking around in a fog. You don't have all of the information you need. You don't have an accurate assessment of the situation. And sometimes our lives can be like that. It's kind of a bit of a fog because we don't know how certain things are going to turn out. We don't know how this relationship or how this job or how this financial situation is going to turn out. And those things are just a fact of life. But pressure and fear and fatigue can all conspire to make it hard to have any sort of security or confidence in life. And that is why we're looking into God's Word today in this four-part series, to discover that what He wants is for us, for you and me, here and now, to have a confident life in uncertain times. And the problem with this is sometimes people say to me, Bernie, are you dressing up life to say life's always going to be easy? Are you dressing up life to say we're all going to be affluent? Absolutely not. I'm not talking about an affluent consumption model. Not that at all. I mean, just the other day, I was talking with a young man in Africa. He has a wife and two beautiful kids, plus seven other mouths to feed, because these are relatives whose parents were killed in a recent war. And for him, the issue of uncertainty, the issues that can knock his confidence around, are quite simply having enough money to put food on the table to feed those mouths. For him, he needs a confident life in uncertain times, and that's the heart of God for him. It's God's heart that we put our trust in Him, whether we're affluent or we're poor, whether we're going through good times or bad times. You know, our confidence can be rocked by something as simple as comparing ourselves with the next person, and we become like a cork floating around in the ocean. And you know, there's no better place to discover God's heart for confidence in our lives than the letter of Peter, the first letter that he wrote. And that's what we've been going through over the last few weeks. That letter, 1 Peter, begins like this: from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the exiles of the dispersion, scattered through Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia, who have been chosen and destined by God the Father and sanctified by His Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with His blood. May grace and peace be yours in abundance. I love that. I mean, these people that he was writing to were being tortured and killed for their faith. Peter's writing to them here, and it's not God's confidence for just a wealthy few, but for the people who are doing it really tough, whatever that looks like. People scattered to the four winds. And he's saying, look, you've been chosen with a purpose. And that's what we looked at a couple of weeks ago. And last week, we looked at the fact that we have been born. If we believe in Jesus, we have been born into a new birth, a living hope, into an inheritance that God is guarding for us in heaven. See, Peter is writing about, if you believe in Jesus, you have a right to confidence because it's a right that Jesus purchased for us on the cross. If we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we can know that God has a purpose. We can know that we have a future, no matter what we're going through right now. And these people were going through some really serious stuff. This issue of confidence is an important issue. I'm not talking about pompousness. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm not talking about selfishness. I'm not talking about having all the money in the world. None of those things. I'm talking about godly confidence. Confidence in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's what we've been talking about over these last few weeks. If you are struggling with confidence, if you miss those programs, I really encourage you, hop onto our website, christianityworks.com, and you can listen to them again. This letter of Peter to these Christians who are being persecuted, and he's talking about confidence. This week we're going to continue on with that theme. And this first chapter of this letter is remarkable. It's a remarkable letter. It's a beautiful letter to suffering Christians. And Peter goes on to address a different issue. It's the issue we're going to look at today. It's still related to certainty, to courage, to knowing deep inside that God is in control. And no matter what's queuing up at our door, it's still going to be okay. Peter talks about how we think and how we live. And we're going to read a passage now, which is from that letter. If you have a Bible, grab it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 25. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, don't conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so you be holy in all you do, because it's written, be holy, because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear, because you know that it wasn't through a perishable thing like silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you by your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed to us in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. And now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. Because you've been born again, not from a perishable seed, but from an imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that we have preached to you. There's a lot in that, but the three main themes are what we do with our hearts and our hands, what motivates us, and the unshakability of God's word. And we're going to unpack those things after this short break. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. I truly believe that when we get God's word into us, he changes us in the most amazing way. That's why I've written a special booklet to go along with this series of messages called A Confident Life in Uncertain Times. And right now you can request your free copy online at christianityworks.com. You'll see the free offer right there front and center on the homepage. Just click on it, pop in your name and email, and it'll be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. It really is that easy. And while you're there, please don't forget that you can also have instant access to the free daily Christianity Works e-devotional, words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement delivered right to your inbox each weekday. It's all about helping you to live out each and every day in the victory that Jesus came to give you. Thousands of people have already signed up to the Christianity Works e-devotional, and we receive so much feedback as people are touched every day by the mighty, powerful Word of God. You'll see that instant access icon right there on the homepage. But back to that free life application booklet I've been telling you about. It's called A Confident Life in Uncertain Times, and the web address is christianityworks.com. Remember, it's only available for a limited time, so don't miss out. Now let's get back into God's Word, because there's one thing for certain. If you and I want to have peace in our lives, if we want to live our lives with our confidence in Christ, well, we're going to be in for a battle. It turns out that the way we think and the way we behave have an awful lot to do with our level of confidence. It's a real paradox to me, but the whole me, me, me thing, you know, that selfish, it's all about my comfort, it's all about my satisfaction, that attitude feeds an incredible sense of insecurity. Whereas an attitude of love, an attitude of sharing and giving and serving breeds a quiet confidence in our hearts. Now, the Apostle Peter knew that. He just finished talking about the fact that we've been chosen with a purpose, that we've been born into a living hope through Jesus. And then he goes on to say this in chapter 1 of the first letter of Peter, almost at the end of the New Testament, beginning at verse 13. Truly, if you have a Bible, grab it, open it up, let's have a read. Therefore, he says, because of all the things God's done, because of the confidence that you have in Jesus, because you have a living hope, because God is protecting your inheritance in heaven, because of those things, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, don't be conformed to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so you be holy in all you do, because it's written, be holy because I am holy. Peter starts here with what we think. It says, prepare your minds for action. Literally, the words that he wrote in the original Greek say, gird up the loins of your mind. The picture is one of a Roman soldier who wore a tunic, and when the soldier was going into battle, he would tie up his tunic so that, frankly, he wouldn't trip over it, so that he was ready for battle. And it's the same with all of those things, those problems, those issues, those whatever they are, queuing up at our front doors. People's situations, opposition, our own thoughts, the things that rob us of confidence. Maybe you're a woman and you look at the next woman and you compare husbands and you compare her looks with you and you compare their kids, right? And it robs you of confidence. Maybe you're a man struggling to put food on the table, and it robs you of confidence. Whatever it is, what Peter's saying is this. Because of what Jesus has done, because of the living hope, because of your future, get a grip. Set your mind straight. Be self-controlled. Put your hope fully on the grace that's been given to you. Don't flap around in the breeze. Don't run around like a chicken with your head cut off. Don't panic. Don't get dejected. Look. Look at who you are in Jesus Christ. That's the provision that the Lord made for you and me on the cross. That's what he meant by the empty tomb. We've got a future. We've got a present, and we're safe because of who he is and what he's done for us. And we deal with those things that rock our confidence by girding up the loins of our mind, by being transformed by the renewing of our mind and then getting our actions in line with that. Right? Get a grip on our minds. Stop flopping around this way and that. Jesus Christ is Lord. He died for you and died for me. He rose for us again. And that's the solid platform on which we stand. Look at the next bit, because he talks now about our actions. He says, as obedient children, don't conform to the evil desires you had in the past. But be holy, because it's written, God is holy. What does holy mean? Holy means special and clean and set apart. I struggled for a long time to understand holy. But you know that a surgeon only uses absolutely clean, sterilized implements. Otherwise, he's going to infect the wound and the patient gets sick and dies. Those instruments are clean. They're ready to go. They're set apart on their tray. They're lined up. They're special. That's the picture of holy. That's the life that God's calling us to, a life of being set apart, a life of being clean and pure, a life of standing out, of being ready to be used by him. Here's the bottom line. If we're not living out a holy life, this whole faith thing is not going to work, because our lives will be diseased, and that'll rob us of the good life that God always intended. We get infected and ultimately we die, just like the patient. What we believe and what we do are two parts to our relationship with God. And ultimately, if what we do is different to what we believe, we'll go with what we do every time. That confidence that we're supposed to have gets undermined and it gets infected, like the wound of the patient. The good life gets eroded, and then we have no confidence. We end up like a cork in an ocean. When we're doing good, we're living good. When we give sacrificially, when we honour other people, when we live like Jesus, you know what that does in our hearts? It ministers truth into us. It gives us the quiet assurance of the living hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Because deep in our hearts, we can see that this thing works. That's why we're called to be holy, to be set apart, to be used of God. Because if that's not how we live, we won't enjoy confidence. We won't enjoy assurance. We won't enjoy the living hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We can't believe one thing and do another. You know what that's called? That's called hypocrisy. None of us likes a hypocrite, and it doesn't work. Now, the next bit is a reminder of why we should live like this. God said, look, just never forget these things. And we're going to have a look at that in just a moment. And we'll get back to today's Christianity Works message in just a moment. My prayer for you right now is that as we look at God's amazing plan over the next few minutes, the Holy Spirit will minister His peace into your heart. And that's why we do what we do here at Christianity Works, to see your life touched and transformed as you receive the mighty, powerful Word of God into your life. So it doesn't end here. I really encourage you to stop by at our website, ChristianityWorks.com, where you'll find a host of free resources to hear God's word and to apply it to your life. After all, this Christianity thing actually does work. So whether it's Christianity Works TV to watch this week's broadcast, the Media Lounge, where you'll discover thousands of messages conveniently organized by subject so that you can find exactly what you need for today, or the free daily Christianity Works e-devotional, check it out at ChristianityWorks.com. My passion is to see you walking in a rich, dynamic, and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. He has so many amazing things planned for you, even if it's hard for you to see that, given what you're going through right at the moment. That's why it's just so important for you to receive the Word of God into your heart each and every day. And that's what our website, ChristianityWorks.com, is all about. So check it out. Well, Peter gives us a good reason for holy living, and that reason is based on what God has already done. Let's have another read to get this into our hearts. We're reading from the letter of 1 Peter, chapter 1, beginning at verse 17. This is what he writes. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it wasn't through perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from an empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in the last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God. God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and your hope are in God. Peter starts this bit off by saying, live your life as exiles. And we are exiles. Do you believe in Jesus? Then your citizenship is in heaven. We're like an exile in a foreign land. Yes, we're in the middle of this world, but we're not of it. We belong with God. We belong in heaven. So we're living our life as strangers and exiles. And Peter's saying, you do it in reverent fear, a right fear, a good fear. We talked about that in our last program. God sees it all. God's there. Whatever we do, whatever we think, whenever we're angry or we're horrible to other people or we're selfish or we're pompous, God's in that place. And he's a God who judges every man and every woman impartially. In view of that, whatever we do, whatever we think, he knows. And you know, he provided for us. He didn't come and save us by paying money, by silver or gold. He saved us through the blood of his son, through the death of Jesus on the cross. This incredible, God hates sin so much, and he loves us so much, that he himself, through his son, bore our sin. It's a mystery too deep to understand. And he saved us from an empty life of doing the same old, and brought us to an abundant life. Not through the things of this world, not through silver and gold, but through what Jesus did on the cross. Why should we be holy? Because of what God's done for us. Because God will judge the living and the dead one day. And God's made provision for us through his love and grace in Jesus Christ. If there was ever a reason to live a holy life, it's the grace of the cross. It's the price of the cross. It's what Jesus did for us. With precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish, we have been redeemed from an empty way of life. And that's where our certainty is. That's where our motivation is. We can't live a holy life on our own. I can't, you can't. We can't just conjure it up out of thin air. I've tried, believe me, and it doesn't work. But when we dwell at the foot of the cross, when we honor Jesus, when we worship him, God changes us. He changes us from the inside out. And if we're not worshiping Jesus, you know something? We can't live a holy life. We can't say from a distance, I believe in Jesus, and expect to be able to live a holy life. If we're not one with him, we can't do it on our own. See, God didn't save us through worldly things. God didn't redeem us through perishable things like silver and gold. He redeemed us with an imperishable seed, with the blood of his son. And for that thing to become effective in our lives, for that wonderful, wonderful blessing to become a reality in our lives, we have to have a relationship with this Jesus in prayer, in worship, in getting into God's word, just like we're doing at the moment. Jesus said in John chapter 15, I am the vine and you are the branches, and boys and girls, apart from me, you can't do anything. And so to live this holy life, we need to connect into this Jesus, close, intimate with him, him in us in him, through prayer and worship and getting into his word and then obeying it and living it. If Peter starts here with our mind, he calls us to be transformed by getting our minds ready for the battle. And he tells us here, look, your motivation is because of the goodness and the grace of God. And that has to translate into actions. And you know what happens? It comes around full again. Those actions, when we give, when we sacrifice, when we just bite our tongue, when we'd rather rip a person in half, that goodness witnesses the confidence that we can have, the hope, the living hope we have in Jesus Christ back into our hearts. And instead of spiraling downward and being like that little cork in a stormy ocean, we start spiraling upward, closer and closer to God, a deeper and deeper faith, a more wonderful revelation of who he is. That sense that we're on the right track. That confidence that we're safe. I can't rely on me. You can't rely on you. We haven't got it. This only comes from really dwelling with Jesus at the foot of the cross and worshipping him. And that's the point of this last part of the first chapter that we're going to look at now. It says this, now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart, because you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. All men are like grass. Our glory is like the flowers in the fields. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. When we go to live out that life of love, it's not in our own ability, because your ability and my ability are like the grass, like the flowers of the field. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that I am now preaching to you. My passion is seeing you experience firsthand the power and the love of God through Jesus Christ in your life. Each one of us needs to grow in maturity through a dynamic relationship with Jesus. That's what the Ministry of Christianity Works is all about. That's why we produce these radio messages. And that's why this program that you've just been listening to is heard not just here on your station, but through over 1,350 stations in 160 countries. But can I tell you, we face so much spiritual opposition in so many places because, frankly, our enemy, the devil, doesn't want millions of people each week hearing the good news of Jesus. So, can I ask you a huge favour? Would you pray with me that God would open many, many more doors around the world for us to share the amazingly good news of Jesus with the lost? Because our heart is to reach the unreached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can check out the current Christianity Works prayer list at christianityworks.com. And while you're there, please don't forget that there's a treasure trove of resources in the Media Lounge, conveniently categorized. Things like adversity, peace and assurance, intimacy with God, spiritual warfare, and much, much more, so that you can find exactly what it is that you need for today. Because God's word is so powerful. I want to see your life touched and transformed as you receive His word into your heart. That's all at ChristianityWorks.com, and may you be blessed beyond measure as you receive His word. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again right here on Christianity Works, same time next week, with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.